to be in the house of the Lord. Better is one day in his courts than a thousand elsewhere, is what David said. And I feel that way every Sunday morning when we come in. It's not work. You know, a lot of times people think it's a lot of work and effort. I mean, it is work, but it's not work. When you're serving the Lord, it's a joy to come into his house and to get things ready for his house and what he's going to do that day. Amen? And we've been doing a series in Psalm 112, so if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to that. And I just remember, I did, okay. It's a busy week. Thanksgiving week always throws everything off for my getting ready for church. It's like, I got ready at the beginning of the week, so it's like, did I actually put that screen? Okay, I did, good. Okay, so we've been discussing Psalm 112. It starts out, praise the Lord. So you start out with praise. Don't you love that? That's the way to start out every day of your life, is praise the Lord. You get up in the morning, you praise him that you can get up. Amen? You praise him that you're alive still. You praise him that you have a house. You praise him for your floor. You praise him for your bed. I tell the Lord all the time, we got blessed with a really nice bed. And so every time I lay down, I say, thank you, Jesus, for my bed. But it's good to be grateful, right? Because when you're grateful, then he just wants to bless you even more. Because it says he has a father's heart. And I know what my dad, when I say thank you to him, my dad just wants to give more, right? Or when my kids say thank you to us, we just want to give them more. Well, same with your heavenly father. When you have a grateful heart, he just wants to keep blessing you. And it says, blessed or happy is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his command. So we started with this, and we focused on, this is who this whole passage is about. It's the person who fears God. That doesn't mean you're afraid of God. It means you reverence, respect, your awe of God. You've put him as leadership. And the very first place that you have to put him in leadership is in your what? Someone tell me. Your finances. If he is not Lord of your finances and your money, he will not be Lord of your life. That's just the bottom line. You can't serve two gods. Amen. Bottom line. So this is all about the person who fears the Lord and delights in his commands. And he says to us in Malachi, you're supposed to bring in your tithes and offerings, right? That's what he says. He says in Malachi that they were forsaking him. How were they going against God? Because they were not bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. We don't want to be like that. We want to come joyfully with our tithes and offerings, right? Because we've learned in this church that if you're grateful to give the Lord your 10%, he blesses that 90, and that 90 goes farther than anything you can imagine. Amen? And then we talked about that when you're a person who fears the Lord and you're delighting in his commands, so you're giving your tithes and offerings and you're honoring and awing God and reverencing him, the very first thing that he blesses is your children. Woohoo! Don't you love that? You serve God, you do what he asks you to do, and your kids are automatically blessed. I think that was one of my favorite studies in this whole passage so far, was knowing my kids are blessed. And that's not saying that they delight in the Lord. No, this is saying if you delight, then they are blessed. How awesome is that? God's got a covering for them just because they're your kids. Somebody say amen. Amen. Woo! And then it says the next thing would be wealth and riches would be in your house. And someone can try to tell you that that means something else, but we studied it out and it means what? Wealth and riches will be in your house. Amen. We are blessed to be a blessing. And we've seen that this year. I mean, it's been astounding. Every goal we've given you guys, you have superseded it. You've gone above and beyond in your giving. And it's making a difference in people all over the world. Our missionaries in Japan, we can only give them a certain amount of cash money, so we help them buy things. Their kids are tall. And in Japan, it's really hard to find clothes. And I shared a couple months ago, we sent some summer stuff to them. And their son, who is 16, came running down the stairs and goes, Mom, look, look, with his hands raised in the air. And he goes, you can't see my stomach. Little things that we take for granted. You know, another thing is their pants. They do a lot of capris. So they got pants, and we're able to send clothes to them. And they just got their first two boxes for their fall clothes. And she said, they are all strutting around. They can't wait to show friends. And Josiah's playing basketball, so we're able to send some sweats that actually go all the way to the floor on top of his shoes. And he was like, this is so awesome. You were a part of that because of your giving. That it's making a difference in people's lives all over the world because because you're giving. Amen? And so it brings encouragement. So it's wealth and riches in our house, but it's also to be blessed, to be a blessing. And then we talked about that the upright walks in the light. So it doesn't matter how dark it gets around you in the world, you are walking in the light. How can that be? Well, God gave us a biblical illustration. When in Goshen, there was light, and in Egypt, there was darkness. So it doesn't matter if it's really dark all around you, wherever you are, you're going to be walking in the light. Amen. And then it says, goodwill will come to those who are generous and lend freely and conduct their affairs with justice. And we talked about this kind of showed us who we're supposed to be. Are you generous? Are you lending freely? Do you do things the right way? That's going to show people who you are. So we do have things that we have to do. And then last week, I loved last week. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They'll be sometimes shaken, every once in a while shaken. No, you will never be shaken. Say never. Never. And we talked about there were those big, long words, perpetuity. Remember, they were the words we never hear anymore, right? That this means goes on and on and on and on. You will never be shaken. So if you're starting to feel like you're moving, you need to ask yourself, what am I standing on? Am I standing on the rock? Am I standing on the word? Amen? And then today, you got these just get better and better and better. In verse 7, it says this. They will have no, say no. No. They will have no fear. Say no fear.
No fear.
Does that mean a little bit of room for fear?
No.
Say no fear.
No fear.
Say it again.
No fear.
Say it again. Do you know why I'm having you say this over and over? Because the world is feeding you fear with a bottle. And if you're willing to drink, it'll be easy to succumb to fear. They stopped talking about COVID now. Now there's another variant. And oh, no fear. No fear. You don't have to be trapped inside your homes because you're scared anymore. No fear. No fear of what? Bad news. Amen. Don't you love how God is specific? No fear. They will have no fear of bad news. What are their hearts doing? They're steadfast. They are steadfast.
Yes.
Trusting in the Lord. Now there's our part. What does it all relate to? Who are you trusting in? If you're looking to men to be your answer, you're going to have fear. If you're looking to yourself to find the solution, you're going to have fear. The only way that there will be no fear is trusting in the Lord. What does Proverbs 3 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. We get this visualization, right? If you're leaning and you're walking, it gets really, really difficult. You start to kind of do this, right? You ever had like where you're dizzy or something and it's hard to keep your balance? That's what happens when you stop trusting in the Lord and you lean on your own understandings. It's going to throw you off. Everything will be off. If you find yourself starting to fear, when you need to stop yourself and say, wait, 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 what am I trusting in? Am I trusting in COVID? Am I trusting in a variant? Am I trusting in a doctor's report? Am I trusting in my finances, what I can see? Am I trusting in what I see in my kids? Or am I trusting in what the Word says about me?
Amen.
We have to be in the Word and know the Word. This is what will set us free. But hallelujah, He makes it so clear. It doesn't matter what bad news you hear. You throw up your hands, you say, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear this. Thank you, Jesus. Praising Him before the answer even gets there. Praising Him while the answer's on the way. Most of you know we don't have a dishwasher or a washing machine because I decided to go out within a few weeks. But you know what? I'm praising the Lord every time I slosh water out onto myself and you're ready to go somewhere and you got to go change. And then I'm praising the Lord as I'm walking across the street because my neighbor actually said I could use her washer. Woo! I'm praising the Lord every time I go there. Bless this washer, Lord. Bless it. Multiply it. Why? Because I'm praising the Lord ahead of time. We have two choices. We can live bummed all the time because there are plenty of things to be bummed about. Do you know that? There are plenty of things to be afraid of. But we can choose to rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Amen. We don't have to fear. I don't know how freeing that is for you, but that is so freeing to me to know I don't have to fear any bad news. Any bad news. We get Newsmax, and it's a more of a conservative Christian station, and so we get these little blurbs, and when I saw the blurb for the new COVID thing, I just went, no fear. No fear. Not coming on me. Absolutely not. Looks like the stock market might do that. No fear. Not for me. Nope, I don't trust in this. I trust in this. I trust in the word. Amen? So as you're grabbing your tithes and offerings today, this is your promises because you are a tither and a giver. You are listening to the voice of the Lord. You are doing his commands. And you are saying, I reverence you before I reverence my money. So I am giving my tithes. It's almost like you're cutting off the world's ability to get into your money. It's like your tithes are a big hatchet. Whoosh. Nope, can't touch that. Not anymore. And then when the world tries to bring fear, you say, no, I'm a tither. No, I don't have to worry about this. My promise is in Psalm 112, I have no fear of bad news because I know in whom I trust. Amen? Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings today. Father, I just thank you for this word that you have led us to in Psalm 112. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. You are so faithful to your word. But Father, as you've been instilling in my heart and mind, we have to know what your word says in order to know what you're even faithful to. And that we have a part. Our part is to give our tithes and offerings. Our part is to trust in you. Our part is to reverence and honor you. Our part is to delight in your commands, Father. But as we do those things, you have all these blessings that you're just waiting to pour out on your people. If they'll just do what they're supposed to do. And our part is so little, Father, so little. I pray today, Father, as we've studied and we've seen that no fear of bad news. I pray, Father, for every person here over their hearts and their minds, that anytime the enemy tries to bring things, and he knows, Lord, the things that make fear rise up in us. But I just pray when the enemy tries to come, like a flood, you will raise up a standard against him in every person's heart in here, and they will literally throw up their hands and say, no fear. I will not fear. I am trusting in the Lord. And Father, just that declaration, just that action is going to cause that flood to literally come over the top of them with your peace and your love. In Jesus' name, Father, I just thank you that as we give, we are sowing seed, Father. And Lord, we just pray that it would be protected seed, Father, that would multiply and produce a mass harvest, Father, so we can continue to be blessed, to be a blessing. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory, Father, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for flexing with us over this room today and just rolling with it. Amen. I was thinking about, because it was a little extra work for us setting up over here, and I was thinking about that movie White Christmas and how they say, just say we're doing it for a friend in the army. Luke goes, let's just say we're doing it for a pal in heaven. We're doing it for Jesus, right? I mean, there's a lot of things in our life we got to remind ourselves, hey, we're doing this for Jesus. Right? Let's do it, man. Praise God. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word to us today. We ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Well, just love Christmas season, the holiday season, and one of the things I noticed, like every year kind of has its own unique, you know, events, and just, you know, there's a lot of things that are traditional that are beautiful, but this year I noticed something. Usually I'm the first one on my block to get my Christmas lights up and all that kind of thing. We usually have it, you know, the week before Thanksgiving, but I noticed, man, all over town, like I don't know, somewhere after Halloween, all these Christmas lights start popping up. People are just ready to move on to the joy, right? Turn the light on, turn it up, and let's do it now, they said, right? And we're going to be ministering on the glory of God, right? And it's the brightness of the glory of God manifesting in our lives. But I was just encouraged to just drive around town and just see people turning on the lights, turning on the joy. Let's just, despite what the world is doing, we're going to do this anyway, right? And I just, it was just a statement of faith and a statement of we're Americans, a statement of freedom, right, and independence. And no matter what you're telling us out there, whoever you are out there, we're going to do this anyway, right? It just fired me up, right, to be the 37th person putting my lights up or whatever it was, right? So, but I want to minister for the next, I don't normally give outlines like this, but this one is going to cover us today, next week, and the week after. So it's, I wanted to title it as I was meditating on this and preparing. I wanted to entitle this, His Glorious Appearing, right? And one of the emphasis of this year, the Lord gave us what, you know, He talked about emphasizing the mercy of God this year, fighting the fight of faith, and then the glory of God, right? And I've been trying to get to the glory, and obviously the glory of God is all year long, right? But to do actually some messages on the glory of God, right? And so here we are. And as I was meditating on that phrase, His Glorious Appearing, just the phrase, His glory is appearing, right? Somebody say, His glory is appearing. In my life, I'm talking about in my life, in your life, in your home, in your business, in your family, in your community, in your schools, His glory is appearing. And that's what I noticed the past few weeks. Driving around town, oh, there's light, more lights, more lights, more lights. The glory is appearing. It appears that you're not the only one that believes this way. Amen? And that's encouraging, isn't it? But our foundation text for this message is Titus chapter 2, verse 13, but I want to read to you verses 11 through 14. We'll just let the Holy Ghost lead us, right? And it says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation." And when you think about the word grace, right, that's something I couldn't earn. It's a gift. Christmas is about gifts. The grace of God is a gift. And to millions of people on the planet, they can't accept that. Religion says you have to earn it, whatever it is. Your own redemption. I was thinking this morning about some of the, and we're going to focus on a couple of aspects of Christmas this year, the glory of God, obviously. But I was thinking this morning about some of the uniquenesses between the shepherds and the wise men. Right? The shepherds instantly believed and came now. The wise men, they got around to it after a while. Right? They were more into science. They were very educated, very wealthy. The shepherds, probably not so much. But in many cases, people who get saved and come to Jesus are not in many cases the most educated, not in many cases the wealthiest people, right? In other words, their faith is not in themselves, in my education, in my finances. See, God has no problem with people getting educated and rich, but if my faith and my dependence is in that, somebody say no. No, no, no. See, the grace of God is a gift I couldn't earn. Right? The grace of God, and here's another thing. The grace of God is something I desperately need. And I can't get it for myself. And the people of this world tend to fall into those one or two categories. They're either instant to believe or slow to believe, right? There's some people that became a Christian the instant they heard the gospel. Others became a believer after investigating, studying up on it, you know, weighing out the options, right? Somebody say, be quick to believe. You know what? With Jesus, you can be quick and rich. Amen? Like the father of our faith, Abraham, right? Glory to God. But the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. Somebody say appeared. To all men. See, it isn't just about you. It isn't just about me. It isn't just about North America. It says to all people. This grace that brings salvation is available to all people. All races. Really, it's nationalities more than races, right? The devil likes to focus on race. Me against them, right? White against black or Hispanic or Asian or Indian or whatever, right? That's just the devil, right? We all come from the same parents. Adam and Eve, right? It's not like, here you go. It's not like the founder of evolution, the founders of evolution, right? That say the darker your skin is, the more less evolved you are, because the closer to an ape you look like. That's the devil. That ain't God, that's the devil. The devil's the one who invents the strife, right? Oh, you're vaccinated and you're not? There's people that I've heard of that won't even have their own children to their house, because their children chose not to get the vaccination because there's a 90%+ recovery rate and it's a experimental vaccination and I'm just not comfortable with it and it's ground up aborted fetuses they're using. And you know, some people have issues with that, right? But the point is, in this nation, we should have this thing called choice. And God has always been about giving people choice. He did not create robots. Right? So this grace that is extended to all people has to be accepted and received. Somebody say, I receive it, Lord. I receive it. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. Glory to God. Part of the glory is Him teaching us. Him teaching me. Right? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously. Man, I heard a sad story yesterday about an NFL player who's now in the Hall of Fame, and he was just grieving about a mistake he made many, many years ago that cost the life of his brother in a car accident and ran into, you know, a vehicle, and his brother passed away. And one of the things he said was, I'd had a few beers. He wasn't legally intoxicated, but that was all they had to say about it. You know what? For me, that's the only thing I need to hear. If alcohol was associated with that, I'm good without it. Amazing to me how many Christians, sipping saints, oh, just, you know, with dinner. I've had people that I know over the years that I love them and everything, but got into full-bore Jewish roots. Right? Had been delivered, a lot of people been delivered from alcoholism. Just a sip, and they're it's a noose around their neck, right? But this, you know, well, it's Shabbat, let's have a glass of wine. Now years later, it's bourbon and whiskey and beers, and yet, oh hey, let's go to church. It's like the two things to me as a believer don't mix in my life. Right? Because it says live soberly. Now I'll have a coffee. That does get me jacked up a little bit, but I've never heard of anyone getting pulled over in this stuff for too much Starbucks. Whatever, right? Amen. Somebody say live soberly. Just be delivered of that stuff. There's better things. Right? Just look what it associates with. That particular thing calls itself spirits. There is this thing called a sin tax. on that type of thing, right? Amen. Preach on. All right, let's move on, Pastor Steve. All right. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So we don't lower our standards with the standards of the world in order to witness to them. Amen. No. No. Yes, we love people. Yes, we love people. Yes, 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 we love people. But I love him more than I love people. Amen? That tells me I'm not going to put rainbows on the banner of the church. Unless I'm talking about Noah's Ark. Because that's where the mercy of God, great illustration, and wouldn't it be like the devil to take the mercy of God and make it a license to live however you want? That's not the mercy of God. This word grace means divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in my life. In other words, it's about me becoming more like him, not about him becoming more like me. Mercy, if that's what this is all about, Jesus becoming more like us, we're in trouble, man. Because we don't need any more permission to do stuff, right? Amen. Somebody say hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. Now, verse 13 says this, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. Somebody say glorious appearing. And we've been ministering the past few weeks on expectation. Our expectation comes from Jesus. And one of the words or terms for expecting is the term looking for it. Are we looking for his appearing? Right? Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody say, great God and Savior. See, he's God the Son, isn't he? Right? Amen. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Now, if there's one word that sums up our society right now, it's lawless. Yeah. Amen. What's lawless? There are no laws. You do whatever you want. Just the other day, we're coming back from a little shopping in the evening. Marijuana smells coming into my car, which tells me the person in front of me, behind me, or next to me driving their car is smoking weed. What is that? Lawlessness. And then it breeds into other things. Now heroin is legal in Portland, and or you know, the stronger drugs, opening the door for more lawlessness. And police are evil, and military is evil. What is that? It's called lawlessness. Right? So we don't stand for that as believers. We don't vote that way as believers. Even if our union does, I'm more in union with Jesus than my union. Praise God for teachers in public schools. My son has a Bible club at his public school where kids come. And there's a teacher there that is involved with it. Glory to God for that. You know, they may not believe exactly the way we believe or you believe or whatever, but hey, they're there in a public school encouraging Bible reading. Hallelujah. I mean, they got rainbow clubs and all these other clubs. Why not a Jesus group? Give people, you know, an option, a way out. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Himself, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Why do we do good deeds and good things and good works? Not to earn my way to heaven. Right? This is where a lot of other false religions, they tell you you have to knock on doors, pass out flyers, get people to join our group so you can be redeemed. Some of them call it even salvation ordinances. Yeah, we believe what Jesus did, but you also need to be doing this and 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 this in order to be redeemed. That's a lie. There's nothing I could do to redeem myself, right? We do services, you know, feeding people and all these kind of things, not in order to be saved, but because I'm saved. Now, that's a big difference. That is a huge difference. We don't do what we do in order to be saved. We do what we do because we're saved. I resist the devil and repent of my sins because I'm saved. Amen. Glory to God. That's liberating. Hallelujah. But I want to look specifically over the next few weeks at verse 13 there. And it says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the word glorious, and these are, you know, this is out of the concordance. And glorious, some of the words that it used are, I like this first one, very apparent. Have you ever had anything happen in your life and it was very apparent that God just did something? That's called the glory manifesting in your life. It could even be just in terms of reading something in the Bible, right? And all of a sudden, like the light comes on, the glory, and you understand that. It says something to you that applies to something you're going through personally. That's the glory of God appearing and giving you light on that thing. Amen? Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a deliverance. Maybe it's some sort of financial thing, something regarding your family, or the Holy Spirit says something, right? And it just, like a light comes on the inside of you. That's the glory of God manifesting in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. So the glorious things mean very apparent, and it causes me to give honor, praise, and worship to God, right? And I've been listening to, like, Brother Copeland this past week. He's been ministering about the glory of God, and he was sharing that the more time I spend in praise, in worship, the more you'll see the glory appearing in your life, right? Pastor George Pearson's at Eagle Mountain this morning was ministering on a thankful heart. Actually, I was watching his message from last week this morning. But talking about the amazing benefits for having a thankful heart all year round. Health benefits and all these kind of things. Amen. So in other words, I'm not focused on that thing I don't have yet in my life. Well, God, if you ever do this, then I'll be happy. If you ever do this for me, then I'll really serve you, Jesus. No, this is not let's make a deal with God, right? No, it's give me to him now. Somebody say, put your whole self in. Don't be a hokey pokey Christian, right? Got my right foot in, and then to put my whole self in, take my whole self out, right? I'm a Christian on Sunday, but I'm not on Monday, right? No. Somebody say, put your whole self in. Right? Amen. And then we begin to see, practice thanksgiving, being thankful to God, to other people, to each other, right? And that breeds this attitude of thanksgiving, and you will see the glory of God more and more and more and more and more. Amen? Just seeing you here today, to me, is a manifestation of the glory of God. It is. Hallelujah. This building that we meet in right now, it was challenging to meet for a while. Right? And God provided this beautiful place. I mean, this is a beautiful place. And the people that run this place, I love Jesus. Right? And they love us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we give praise to God. We give honor. And we give God the glory. Right? Give God the glory for your education. Give God the glory for the wealth. Right? Give God the glory for my healing. Right? Amen. And just be in practicing that. What are we looking for? His glorious appearing. Somebody say, his glory is appearing in my life, right? Amen. I had a lady a number of years ago. I was doing on my day job, and it was probably a 45-minute drive, and I just was worshiping God all the way there. I had the praise music going, a CD player in my rig, and got to her house, and she said something to the effect when she came to the door, she goes, man, you are like glowing. I was like, well, I've been worshiping God all the way here. She changed the subject. She did not want to talk about that. But it was the truth. Right? What did she see? The glory of God, right? Hallelujah. And I helped her with her issue. But Sometimes you're just planting a seed, you know, in someone's life. It's not my job to just change a person's heart. We can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, and they have to choose. So we intercede for them, we share our faith, we shine the light. Let the Holy Ghost do the work, right? Amen. But that word appearing, it says glorious appearing, means words like a manifestation, right? The advent of Christ, past or future. Brightness. Glory to God. I just, again, think about all those Christmas lights weeks before Thanksgiving. Like, wow, these people are ready to get up and move. Move on in the Spirit, right? Move out of heaviness and depression and, you know, bad news and all this stuff. The gospel is good news. That's what it means, right? And I love how it says the advent of Christ, past or future. Back then, the prophets were saying, he's coming. He's coming, right? Like these two verses in Isaiah that I share right here. Somebody say, the glory is coming. That's what they were saying for hundreds of years and thousands of years. Even God back in the Garden of Eden, right? The very first messianic prophecy. Amen. When Adam ate the fruit, Eve was deceived, but Adam willfully disobeyed God because he just couldn't live without her. Boy, was that true, right? Amen. Praise God. I can understand that. So, death came on this planet. The curse came on this planet because of his choice. Gave the keys over to the devil. You know the story, right? Well, God comes in and tells the serpent, right? You're going to strike his heel, but he will crush your head. The reason he's going to bruise your heel is because his heel is crushing your head to the ground, right? That was the first messianic prophecy that he's coming. And that's years and years before Jesus was born. Amen? Praise God. So here in Isaiah, it says this. Isaiah 7:14 says this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Now, we got to watch as believers that we don't ask him for signs. Lord, if you can just give me a sign. If the fourth car that passes on the freeway is red, I'll know the answer is no. Don't live that way with God. Lord, if you can just send an angel. If Jesus can just appear to me. No, don't ask that. Jesus has not appeared to most people in the flesh. I know people who have seen him. Praise God for that. The Bible says we should test spirits that just appear to you and say, this is how many false religions began. A demon spirit appeared to someone acting like an angel, right? Now that Bible is good, but it's got errors and it's incomplete. I'm going to give you the rest of the story. Somebody say, no, the Bible is not incomplete. It's not full of errors. Not my God. This is the Word of God. This right here, talking about a manifestation of the glory of God, right here. It's on your shelf at home, maybe more than one. It's on an app on your phone, too, in many cases, right? Somebody say, His Word is a manifestation of His glory in the world. Hallelujah. And if we don't believe that, then we got problems, man. Right? Somebody say, I believe the whole Bible. Now, we need to be able to discern what scriptures apply to today. And what, like, we don't need to go sacrifice pigeons and pest control. We do that anyway sometimes. But raccoons and whatever else. No, that's the blood of Jesus finished the work of salvation, right? So we see Jesus in it all. Glory to God. Somebody say, the glory's coming. That's a great thing to say every time you have a symptom in your body, every time you feel that fear try to come on or that heaviness try to come on. The glory's coming, devil! The glory of God's going to drive you out, Satan. Amen. The glory of God's going to fix a jacked up election. Tell you what, man, Americans know. America knows. We ain't dumb. Amen. We know where the foundation of this nation is here. That's why this nation has prospered and been in health and been a light to the world, because this nation was founded on biblical principles, not on the rainbow, not on racism, not on reverse racism, or any isms, socialisms and communisms and all this kind of stuff, right? No. Doesn't mean we're perfect, absolutely not. But the heart of this nation has been right with God. Amen? And it belongs to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, the glory's coming. The glory's coming. Now look at Isaiah 7:14. It says this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, how many people know what that means? It means God with us. Hallelujah, that's good news. So if we're looking for a sign, there's a sign. That's a prophetic word. How many know that happened? It's documented here. That happened. Somebody say, there's a paper trail, right? We know this happened. Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says this, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Glory to God. Somebody say, the glory's coming. Now we're going to spend the first couple Sundays on Isaiah 7:14. I want you to, if you have your Bible, open it to Luke chapter 1. We're only going to look at Luke chapter 1 today. And then those next two verses, I'll print out more next week in case you lose your copy there. But if you have a notebook, throw it in a notebook. But Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Hallelujah. Amen. The glory's coming. This portion we want to call the glory's here. How many know when Jesus was born? The glory's here. Hallelujah. Amen. Oops, did we shut off here? Did I click it? Oh, well. I think you all get the point with that, right? So we'll just go ahead and shut that off. Need a healing on our projector. How do we ever have church without technology? Somebody say, the glory's here, right? I don't need the glory. I got technology. Oh, back up. Backpedal. I don't need the Holy Ghost. I got a doctorate degree. What? I don't need the Bible. I got my master's in divinity. Ooh. Somebody say, yikes, man. How about just knowing the master? Glory to God. Nothing wrong about getting a master's. Just don't think I am the master, right? Luke chapter 1. Somebody say, the glory is here. The glory is appearing. We're talking about his glorious appearing. Well, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, I'm going to read it to you. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, hallelujah for angels of God. Amen. We don't worship angels. We don't pray to angels. We don't worship saints or pray to saints. Some of my favorite Christmas classic movies are about people that talk to saints. Well, praise God for the saints, but you don't pray to a saint. They aren't listening. You can ask Jesus to tell your loved ones things, but don't ask your loved ones to ask God for something. That's not correct. That's not biblically sound. Nothing's going to happen. Right? Amen. Now, praise God, right? But angels are employees of heaven, right? They're God's, spiritual army. And man, there's lots of them. There's lots of them. Lots more of them than demons. Demons are fallen angels. Satan is a fallen angel, right? This is not rocket science here. Amen? Listening to Charles Capps this past week talking about how angels move at the speed of light. That's why we can't see them. Because we do not. Like Star Trek. Right? Man, they're fast. That's why, Walter, you got delivered out of that car accident. I know there's been other car accident testimonies. Angels involved, angels on the scene, angels moving that quick. Right. Remember Creflo Dollar sharing a story about being in Northern California and his SUV that he was being taken somewhere got T-boned and they're upside down and he had his eyes open and they saw a flash come through. Angels of God intervening, saving their lives. Glory to God. These are real. Amen. So when we see something like this, we need to remember this is for then, but why is it in the Bible? Because it's also for now. Now, don't ask God to have Gabriel come to your house. Right? You don't need, your angel that God has assigned to you is around you all the time, 24/7. And if he needs assistance, he can call for backup. And I'll tell you what, they're not little cupids. Not little naked babies. Oh, no. No, no. These are mighty warriors of heaven. And their job is to look out for you, to minister, the Bible says, to the heirs of salvation. One angel, there's stories in the Bible about one angel wiping out an entire army. Right? Not that they want to do that. But if they're coming against God's people, you're on the wrong side, man. Right? It's just as simple as that, right? So, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city. See, he didn't decide this on his own. He had orders. I need to preach on here, right? The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." You see this teenage girl that's going about her chores, honoring her parents, you know. And here's this angelic being appearing before her, right? But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. She might have been thinking, did you talk to my dad yet? Or, you know, who knows, right? Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Now see, these people had been trained all their life. The Messiah is coming. The glory is coming. The glory is coming. And to hear, "You are the one that I'm choosing." Glory to God. We don't worship Mary, but she is in a high place of honor in heaven. In the heavenly ring of honor, she's in that ring of honor. I'll tell you what, glory to God. Just like Moses. Moses bore the word on tablets. She bore the word in her body. She risked her life. In that day, your life was at stake if you were pregnant out of wedlock. Right? She's a Bible hero. Hallelujah, right? The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" That is a fair question. Amen. We ought not get down on, well, Mary had no faith. No, Mary had a legitimate question. And Gabriel wasn't just going to blow her off, right? "How can this be? I don't even know a man, right? I'm not married, right?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. And that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." This is not a sexual act, okay? This is a miraculous conception. This is nothing perverted here. The devil likes to pervert everything. Amen? This is why he was the perfect Son of God, because there was no man involved. Now see, he's redeeming the woman, isn't he, right? Now there's a perfect woman here, but there ain't no such thing as a perfect man, all right? So, hallelujah, right? "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Somebody say, the glory's coming. And with the glory, there's nothing impossible. What do you believe in God for? Somebody say, keep believing. Keep praising him for the glory you see, and praise him for the glory that happened yesterday, and the glory you're seeing today, and the glory you're believing for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Right? And then this is the final statement we'll look at today. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Woo! Man. See, this wasn't forced on her. She had a choice. See, God has always been about, will you accept this mission? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you glad she did? Aren't you glad she said yes? Somebody just lift your hands and say, Lord, behold, I am your servant. I am your servant. Glory to God. And he is manifesting his glory in ways that you could never even imagine in the natural. If we just spend time with him, fellowshipping with him, don't let the busyness of life, take his time slot. We can be praising him throughout the day, but have your time carved out every day with Jesus where you just spend time with him. Some days, extra time with him. I've had a few extra days off this weekend, so I've been able to stretch out my time with Jesus in the morning, whether it's in the Word or watching a broadcast on the Victory Network or, just feeding on his faithfulness and just listening to him, right? Oh, it's glorious. Amen. And I'll tell you what, to see the glory that he wants manifested in our lives, we're going to have to be people that are all about his presence, about being with him, not onto the next thing. Might mean I got to get up a little earlier, stay up a little later. Amen. And be asking him throughout the day, Lord, what now? Oh, just give me 15 more minutes and then you can go out and get on your list. Okay. Right? Amen. He's wonderful, isn't he? Amen. Well, let's all stand up on our feet and we're just going to thank him for his words to us today. And we'll come back and do it again next week. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just lift your hands to God and just say, Lord, thank you. Lord, we thank you for your glorious presence. We thank you for your glorious presence in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. I want you to think about one or two people that you know that if they died today, you're not sure that they would go to heaven. They're not living for God, don't care about God. Maybe they've never prayed to receive Jesus. Just think about them right now, and I want you to pray a prayer for them. Just say, Father God, show them your glory today. Show them your glory. Father God, reveal yourself to them. Say their name in your heart. Lord, reveal yourself to them like only you can do. That they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have showed up and spoken to them, and it will tug at their heart, Lord God. And then, Lord, give them the strength and the willingness to say yes to you, just like Mary did that day. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Just worship the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We acknowledge you today. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen.